Well, they're all happy Passover. And so this is what we're celebrating is Nicene the 14th. And this is really, since sunset is just about to happen, it's really about to be Nicene the 15th, which would be the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And that feast went on for 7 days. What we'll have to do, we'll go ahead and start without doing the manifestations. We'll do that at the end because of what has happened, and what we're going to show you is the reason we even have manifestations, because Christ died at, you might know what time today?
3 o'clock.
Three o'clock. And so he died at 3 o'clock today. And that is the time that they killed the Passover lamb to be celebrated tonight, and which we've got right here. We've got, can you see that? Yeah. Over here we've got lamb and unleavened bread that the girls made. We'll kind of start off with first, I'm trying to stop first and foremost. Anderson, I do say that a lot, which I do.
I was right.
Just caught myself. But the errors that we have been raised in and brought up are just enormous. There's so many things wrong. It's even on this special time. First, Easter. Mm-hmm. The word Easter is the goddess Esther. How did we even accept it and leave it to say we call the resurrection of Christ the goddess Esther? You know, this is terrible. Christ did not die on Good Friday. There's nothing good about it. He died on Wednesday. And he did not get up on Sunday, which they would call Easter Sunday. He got up on Saturday after 3 o'clock. He's 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, from 3 o'clock to 3 o'clock. That was the Sabbath day. So Saturday, Friday at sunset to Saturday at sunset is Sabbath. And so I really love that Yahweh awoke his son on the Sabbath. And Yahushua got so much trouble for healing on the Sabbath. And Yahweh said, watch this. Yahweh did not forsake him on the cross. When he said, Eli, Eli, he was quoting Psalms 22. There were not two men crucified with Christ. There were four. The Lord's Supper was not the Passover. Christ did not carry his cross. So anytime you see a picture with a cross, him carrying, he didn't do that. Simon of Cyrene did that. The Gospel of John has him carrying, but that's a figure of speech. Yahushua is not Yahweh, but his only begotten son. Yahushua did die, not just his body, and Yahushua did not go to hell during his death, you know, leaving his body. His resurrection was not his reincarnation. So we say his birth was the incarnation. And so if his birth was the incarnation, now how they got it is, before he came to earth, he was pre-incarnate. That was before he became flesh. Carnate means flesh. So that was before he became flesh, and then he became incarnate, which is, he came into Mary's womb. That was Yahweh, came into Mary's womb. That would be incarnate. But he died, what would you have to call it then? Excarnate.
Yeah.
Left the flesh. Mm-hmm. So he'd have to be excarnate, and then when he was resurrected, what would you have to call it? Reincarnate. Mm-hmm. Re-entering the flesh. So Christians are actually teaching reincarnation. They won't say that word ever.
Yeah.
They'll say incarnation and they'll say pre-incarnate, but they'll never say excarnate or reincarnate, you know, which all goes with it. So those are the errors, and so what we're going to do is really show the truth. Okay, I want you to zoom in on these. So here's a really good document, tell me when you're done, on what really happened. That Christ was in the, was like the Jonah, which he, Jonah was in the great fish for how long?
3 days and three nights.
3 days and three nights. That's 72 hours. So dying on Good Friday, tell me when you got it. You got it? Dying on Good Friday and getting up on Sunday morning is a day and a half.
Yeah.
There were not two crucified with Christ. Another one to zoom in. There were four crucified Christ. There were two evildoers and two robbers. Very simply. We've known this for hundreds of years. But the church, by their tradition, refuses to break the traditions. Tell me when you got it. Got that? Okay. Now we'll begin. This story, contrary to the paganism and the Christian church, is not about heaven or hell. It's about life or death. Let's start off with Genesis 2, 9, verse 9. Life and death, life and death. Verse 9. This is great. This is the tree of life. And I've got a lot to read, so I'll probably be doing a lot of the reading. See. And Yahweh Elohim caused to spring up out of the ground every tree pleasant to the sight and good for food, and the tree of life in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil, as we know, result into death. We go to verse 16 and 17. And Yahweh Elohim laid command on the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, dying thou shalt die. So whenever you see the word thou shalt die, the word shall is actually die. Thou shalt die, die. And so it's really, the word muth, M-U-T-H, is Hebrew for die, is used twice. So Young's does that, die and you shall die.
Twice, so it means it's established.
Yeah. So, we know the consequences of sin is what?
Death.
And this is always a story. We have sin and we have death. If you have no sin, you have life. So Yahweh establishes this book, life and death. We go to Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. Mm-hmm. And we're going to read about the second death. So we start at the beginning of the book, life and death, not heaven or hell. And at the end of the book, life and death, not heaven or hell. So 2, verse 7. It's about life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Ruach is saying unto the assemblies. Unto him that overcometh, I will give unto him to what? Eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of Yahweh. Now we go to verse 11, and we're going to read about the second death. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Ruach is saying unto the assemblies. He that overcometh shall no wise be injured by the what? The second death. Hell is fiction. It's been made up, which is so sad. At least in the newer Bibles, the NIV doesn't have hell in the Old Testament, the word hell, because it can't. Sheol is the only word that they can translate hell, and it's not. They'll say the grave. The King James is the only one that, now that has hell in the Old Testament. The NASB doesn't have hell. It says Sheol in all the places Sheol is used. So if hell is not in the Old Testament, then that means 4,000 years it never even existed. If it was any place, it should have been in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, right? Yeah. I mean, Yahweh should have told everybody, if you eat of this tree, you're going where?
Hell.
And let me tell you what that place is. You're going to be tortured forever. That's hell. You know, no such place exists. But the Christian church...
That's Greek mythology.
Yeah, it's Greek mythology. It's really from Hades, which is the Greek underworld where people are alive. Hades is in the New Testament, but the word Hades is the Greek god Hades, whose name was originally Pluto. And I was just showing, we were looking at planets, about Mercury. Oh, no, it was in Acts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when Paul healed somebody, they called him Mercury and the other one Jupiter. She said, they're calling them planets. No, those are gods.
Yeah, that's where they
those are Roman gods. That's what our planets are named after. Mm-hmm. So you don't think we're immersed into a pagan system.
Yeah.
All of our planets, Venus, Mercury, Mars, they're all gods, Greek or Roman gods. Mm-hmm. And even our days, like Thursday, is for Thor.
Woden's Day.
And so we have all sorts of gods all the way through our language. It's just part of our language. So the point is, our fathers were not faithful to clean this up for us. So our generation is, you know, his name is not Jesus. It's Yahushua. One generation can change everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If they just said, oh, it's no, we're not going to say, we're never going to say the word Easter ever again.
Yeah.
That's blasphemy to say that. Just cut it and call it Resurrection Sunday. It should be Resurrection Saturday, but call it Resurrection Sunday anything except for after a goddess, for goodness sakes.
A fertility.
Yeah, fertility goddess. You're like, wow. But we look at Revelation chapter 20. I'm getting off the subject. Let's see if I can get all this in.
Well, God is love. Why would he resort to torturing anyway?
Yeah, and really, if you're supposed to be imitating Yahweh, so there is a purpose. Yahweh does, I've got a paper on this, does hell exist in the Bible? Yahweh does torture, and the torture is there, and that's the book of Revelation, is to get you to repent. And so a person could say, if you stopped rain for 3.5 years, that's a sign of torture. And it's saying, obey me. Turn around.
All right.
There's a purpose. After you're gone, there's no purpose. I mean, why would I torture somebody now? Because there's no way he's repenting. He's in hell. I'm just going to do this. And then we're supposed to be imitators of God, right? So it tells us to be imitators? Yeah. We're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. Would you ever do that to your neighbor? And if you did, you would be arrested. But we give those attributes to our Creator. That he's going to torture people forever and ever.
What idea that was?
No, but we find out what's going to happen to them. They are destroyed. That's not the teaching. Remember, what's John 3:16 say?
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever shall believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life.
It doesn't say, shall not go to hell, but go to heaven. It says, they shall not perish, which is the word apolumai, which means to be destroyed, but to have life, age of body. Heaven or hell is not in that verse. You say that every time. Because it's not. We're going to be on the earth. And the people we're going to see is what they call the second death. For the people who reject Yahweh, they're going to die permanently. And that's in Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that was sitting thereon, and that's Yahushua, from whose face fled the earth and heaven, and the place was not found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the book was open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, not the book of heaven, the book of life, and the dead were judged out of the things written in the book according to their what?
Works.
Works. The church today will say, works don't count. What did I just say? According to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and the death and Sheol gave up the dead that were in them, and they were judged each one according to their what?
Works.
And death and Sheol were cast into the lake of fire. This is what?
Second death.
The second death. Now everything is purified. Every evil person that came against Yahweh are now gone. They're obliterated. They're destroyed. They're not in hell. That's why it's called the second
death.
The death is the absence of
life.
You know, people say, and here's John 3:16, that they might have life age abiding. Well, don't people in hell have life age abiding?
Yep. It's not very good.
It's not a good life. Are they dead? No, they're not dead. They're alive in hell. So that means, according to Christianity, everybody has life age abiding. One in a good place and one in a bad place. How ridiculous is that? It completely contradicts all scripture that we have. But we go to 22 now, and we're going back to the tree of life. Chapter 22, verse 2. And this is the story. In the midst of the broadway thereof, and on the side of the river, and on that was a tree of life bearing 12 crops. So, from Genesis to Revelation, it's the same thing. We all choose whether to live, which is obeying Yahweh, or to die, which means to rebel against Yahweh. And we get to choose. Why that's important today, Christ became our substitute. And he became the Passover lamb. So sin, all of us have sin. Sin requires death, or it requires expiation, which is a payment. The expiation then results into a propitiation, which is favor, and brings together reconciliation. So you do that with your parents. You know, all of a sudden, you know, I destroy a window. Okay, now I am in sin. How do I correct that? I make a payment. And that's called expiation. There's a payment. Christ became our expiation. He made the payment, which brought, once the payment and the window is fixed, and now we have got propitiation. There's favor restored between the two, and reconciliation, which is fellowship. And so we were here, Yahweh's here, when we sin. It used to be, well, you have to kill an animal. Unless the sin was so horrendous, God did not do it. So if you killed somebody intentionally premeditated, the animal didn't replace it. You died. That's it, and which is right. Mm-hmm. So Yahweh gave us a substitute, which was an animal. But an innocent animal had to die. That's the Passover lamb. That is Yahushua as our expiation. So if you want to read this, we did a teaching on this January 20th, 2016, which is on live stream. Now we're going to look at Israel and the firstborn. And so it's Exodus chapter 4, verse 22.
I didn't know Thursday was named after Thursday.
Yeah.
Chapter
4.
Genesis what? I'm sorry.
Exodus 4, verse 22. Okay. And this starts, remember, the Passover is the 10th plague. The 10th is a number of perfection, of ordination. You know, we have 1 through 9, and then 10 starts everything over, which is why we have the 10 commandments and a lot of things that are 10. 4:22. Thus shalt thou say unto Pharaoh, thus saith Yahweh, my son, my firstborn, is Israel. Therefore I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. But if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I am going to slay thy son, thy firstborn. It's a very simple thing. Is that right? Sure. So Yahweh is saying, let Israel go. What you're doing is evil to them, my firstborn, and everything will be fine. But if you do not let them go, I'm going to kill your son. And he's going to pay for your price. And that's completely fair. So that starts it off. Now we go to Exodus chapter 10, verse 28. You know, it's real simple. It's like, it's if you put knives into a socket, it will electrocute you. And so, don't do that.
Yeah.
And if you do that, then you're responsible for your actions, you die. Very simply. Don't kill somebody, and I will not kill you.
Yeah.
If you kill one of my people, then justice demands that you pay for that price. Exodus 10, verse 28. And here's Pharaoh. And Moses said, 28. So Pharaoh said unto him, get thee from me, take heed to thyself, do not any more see my face, for in the day that thou dost see my face, thou shalt die. And Moses said unto and said, well hast thou spoken, no more again to see thy face. Now we go to chapter 11, verse 4 through 6. You want to read that, Wendy?
And Moses said, thus saith Yahweh, about midnight am I going forth in the midst of Egypt. Then shall every firstborn in the land of Egypt die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who is sitting on his throne, unto the firstborn of the handmaid, who is behind the two millstones. And every firstborn of beasts, then shall there be a great outcry in all the land of Egypt, such as never was, and such as never as, and such as shall not be again. But against none of the sons of Israel shall a dog sharpen his tongue, neither against man nor beast, that ye may know that Yahweh maketh a difference between Egypt and Israel.
Very powerful. The Egyptians could have just talked to the Hebrews to say, hey, We know Yahweh's Yahweh because we've had 9 plagues, and they're not touching you. What does Yahweh want us to do now? Well, he wants you to circumcise yourself, and he wants you to get a lamb, and he wants you to kill it, which we're going to say is between the evenings, which is between 3 o'clock and sunset. And then you're going to gird up your loins, and you're going to eat it during the evening.
And put blood on the lintel.
And put blood over the lintel, and the blood is the sign that a life was given. So you had a substitute life that ended up saving your life.
Your firstborn.
And in Yahweh's mind too, he's going to give his firstborn, you know, to save us, mm-hmm. which is the lamb. And that's the 10th plague. Now we go to chapter 12, verse 1 through 12. Then spake Yahweh unto Moses and unto Aharon in the land of Egypt, saying, this month is to you a beginning of months. So this is Nisan. This was not the original first month. Most of them thought it was Tishri, which is the 7th month. But he made
Nisan is our March.
Yeah, it's right now. Or it could be our April, so it goes back and forth because they're on a lunar calendar, which is a 360-day calendar. We're on a solar, which is a 365 and a quarter day.
Yeah.
So I just found out how the Jews make up for that is about every 5 years they have an extra month, and so this month their Passover is really going to be in April, mm-hmm. and it's called Adar, so they're going to have 2 months.
Oh, is that leap years?
Yeah, instead of also having a leap year, one day, we do it every 4 years, they are behind every year, five days. So 5 times 6 years, you're 30 days behind. And so now you add a whole other month. So they probably, instead of we do it 4 years, they probably do it every 6 years. And they have 2 months to rebalance, to get the moon, and this is very significant tonight. The festivals are always on the 15th of the month, which is on a lunar cycle, that's the full moon. Mm-hmm. So tonight we have a full moon. And so in the festival, it's really like a sanctioning of what Yahweh has done. But as time goes, your calendar is going to get off and you're not going to have a full moon mm-hmm. because you're out of the cycle. Back to verse 2. This month is to you a beginning of months. The first it is to you of the months of the year. Speaking unto all the assembly of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, we're going to find out what Christ did on the 10th of Nisan, because he's what our focus in our Passover lamb. Then let him, on the 10th of this month, then let them take to them each man a lamb for his ancestral household, a lamb for the household. But if the household be too small for a lamb, then shall he and his neighbor that is near unto his house take one, according to the number of souls. Each man, according to his eating, shall he number for the lamb. A lamb without defect, a male a year old, shall there be from the sheep or from the goat, shall you take it. So it shall be to yours to keep until the 14th day of this month, which is today. You got him the 10th, you kept him for 4 days, which most people think there's an attachment because something innocent is going to die for you, for your sins. And a lamb, how much more innocent can you do? It'd be like sacrificing a child. What did they ever do? And so it shall be, verse 6, so shall be yours to keep until the 14th day of this month. Then shall all the convocation of the assembly of Israel slay it between the two evenings. The two evenings, the best prediction is between 3 o'clock and sunset. And today, right now, is 7:28. So that's about the sunset. Verse 7. And they shall take of the blood and put on the 2 doorposts and upon the upper beam, upon the door wherein they are to eat it. I believe, you know, Christ, as we have taken, made Christ our substitute, our Lord, and we took his sacrifice, his blood we put upon the doorpost of our house, which means the second death is going to pass over. Mm-hmm. And what this is going to be, the messenger of death passes over when he sees that. So in our particular case, figuratively, the second death cannot touch us. Why? Because we put the blood of the lamb, and anybody who refuses to put the blood of the lamb, will die. That's all it comes down to. And verse 8, then shall they eat the flesh in the same night, roasted with fire and with unleavened cakes. Okay, so right now, there's our unleavened cakes, and there's our roasted lamb. So if anybody wants some, the girls made this.
Do we have to put our shoes back on?
You should, yeah. And so I'm going to take a little bit.
Hurry on.
And the leavened cake means you're in a hurry. You didn't have time for your bread.
But no butter for you.
Now here's a little piece of lamb.
This is a lot better than what I had.
Anybody else want any? They can pass.
Theirs had the entrails.
Mm-hmm. So this is what they did, and what they did right now, actually. They're eating the lamb at sunset.
Bring me some.
And getting ready to midnight. The angel of death.
I think she's the boss in this.
I'm going to pass over.
You're tired, Israel.
He's just got crazy hair.
No, you're tired.
He's got Wolverine hair.
Sure you don't want some, Izzy? It's on a stick.
Goat on a stick.
Here, I got it.
Goat on a stick, only I've this is lamb on a stick. Izzy ate goat on a stick in Africa.
And delicious. Goat on a stick. That would have been different because you had to put bitter herbs on it and you roast it with the intestines still a part of it.
Okay.
So it was not a food for enjoyment. But still, the Hebrews do this every Passover, what we just did. So it's neat to be able to honor and to step back into what just happened. Because Christ was the Lamb who gave His body for us and His blood for us. And then we're going to see in verse 9, or verse 8, then shall they eat the flesh in the same night, roast with fire and with unleavened cakes. You got the leavened cakes? Do not eat of it underdone, nor cooked by boiling water, but roast with fire, its head with his legs, and with inner parts. And you shall not let nothing remain thereof remain until morning. But that which is left remain until morning is in the fire shall you consume. And thus shall you eat it, your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So shall you eat it in haste. It is Yahweh passing over. I will pass along, therefore, throughout the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite every firstborn in the land of Egypt, from man even unto beast, only the ones who did not do what Yahweh told them to do. And against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment, I Yahweh. We have gods in our day right now, too.
Yep.
You know, we have in the Christian church, we have false gods. We have the triune God. Those are false gods. Mm-hmm. We have the unbelievers, and their God is communism or socialism. It's the government. They go to the government for their needs being met, and they bow to the government. And if the government does unrighteousness, it's okay as long as their money keeps coming in. And so they've sold themselves out. And reading chapter 13, if you can, is very helpful, and it's called The Law of the Firstborn. We're going to look at that. We only have to read, go there, but Christ our Passover is in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 1, 6 through 8. What's very significant about the Lamb, and we know, let's go to John 1, about Yahushua being called the Lamb. And so it's only in John in the book of Revelation where Yahushua is called the Lamb. 29:30 And on the morrow he beholdeth Yahushua coming unto him and saith, see, it, and like I said, one generation, and that's our attempt, as you see with Melania, whenever she sees the name Jesus, which is not his name, it never was his name. Isn't that amazing? It'd be like calling you Frank.
No.
Well, hi, Frank.
Isn't Joshua's name Jesus in English?
No. Not even close. It's Jesus. And so really the Greeks...
English is what?
So remember when all the names from Hebrew were translated into Greek, they're all wrong. So if you look at the Old King James, it will not say Jeremiah, it will say Jeremias. It will not say Elijah, it will say Elias. So it will not, and so Joshua is called Jesus. And that, if you look at the Old King James, and they kept true to it, but we know that's not his name. But that's how they translate it into the Greek. So Jesus means nothing. It has no significance whatsoever. But we know Jesus is the same name as Joshua. Joshua, there's no J. Joshua's name is really Yahushua. Yahushua means Yahweh is salvation. And Moses changed Joshua's name from Hosea to Yahushua. And that's in Numbers 13. And so when you see Jesus, if you just say Yahushua instead, you start a whole other generation and stop the air. And if you hear your kids say Easter, zip it. That word's not allowed in our house. I'm going to stop it if nobody else does. We'll stop it in our house. And his name is not the Lord. His name is Yahweh. He's a six out. Now think how diabolical that is. Look how messed up our founding fathers in our church. When you go to church right now, there's Jesus. Here is Pathway Church in Wichita. Following Jesus and community. And I thought, and where's Yahweh? What happened to Yahweh?
It's lost.
No Yahweh, just Jesus. So Jesus, now the only begotten Son of Yahweh, Yahushua, has been exalted to the place of his Father, where his Father doesn't even exist anymore. And so if you listen to most Christian songs, that's the way it is. How blasphemous is that?
So freaking we start hearing that.
Yeah, it's just a sad. So when they say, when we went to Creation Fest, and they had a tribute to the Creator, you know who the Creator is?
Jesus.
Who do you think the Creator is? What they're going to say?
Oh, yeah, I just say it's my Father.
They're going to say Jesus. Jesus is the Creator of the heavens and the earth. So, that's what we...
And it's not new.
We're immersed in paganism. We're absolutely immersed in the church of paganism. And why do we know that? Because this book shows us. But 13 is very good. John 1:29. Oh, I didn't read that. On the morrow, he beholds Yahushua coming unto him and saith, see, the Lamb of Yahweh who taketh away the sin of the world. See the word God, G-O-D? That Greek word is theos. So if people were legitimate, they would say their name of their God is theos. Mm-hmm. And that's where we get the word theology. Theology is a study of theos. But his name's not Theos, for goodness sake. His name is Yahweh. See the Lamb of Yahweh who taketh away the sin of the world. And then we look at verse 36. And here's the Lamb. And looking at Yahushua walking, he said, see the Lamb of Yahweh. Isn't that great? And that's the Passover Lamb. And we see this in Revelation chapter 5. The word lamb is used 27 times in the book of Revelation. But he is not the innocent lamb there, is he?
Nope.
So what is significance? He's the judgment. He's the one who lets loose what you would call hell upon earth. Because he's the only one that can open up the seals.
Yeah.
And who can open up the seals? Yahushua. And he opens up the seven seals, and one third of the earth is destroyed, the seas are destroyed, half of men die or are put to death, because it's time. You either come bowing or you're dead. And we're giving you a chance, because we could have been like Noah and just wiped you all out.
Yeah.
Let's just clean house. And so what you have to look at, somebody's going to come through this time. There are people who are going to turn their ways, because things have to get so... We already know that. Anybody going to prison, you had to put them in prison to get their attention, yeah. Didn't you? They are so destructive I have to do such a severe deal to put you in for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and to be incarcerated to let you think about your destructive life. And a few of them go, I turn. Mm-hmm. And other ones never do. But we know if Yahweh could have wiped out the whole bunch, you know, we're gone, so Christ is coming back, all the believers leave. Now it's the last call for planet Earth.
Which is amazing.
Is going to be about a 7-year time period for the rest of you to repent. But when they killed the two witnesses in Revelation 11, the towns rejoiced. You know, they killed the two witnesses. You know, and they rejoiced and made merry. They get gifts to each other. Let's celebrate this as a party day. That's how wicked people are. But the love of Yahweh and of Christ is still there to the very end, pulling those few out who repented. Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. And here is the Lamb. This is great. And when he took the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having each one a harp and bowls of gold full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sing a new song, saying, Worthy art thou to take of the scroll and to open the seals thereof, because thou wast slain, and didst redeem unto Yahweh by thy blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. That is what we're celebrating today, the redemption by our Lord and Savior. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 14 and 15 is a very simple thing. Life, we got sin, death, or take expiation, and live. Take the substitute. You know, it's amazing. You know, I just heard one person say this, read in the book. You know, Christ was made exactly like Adam. He could have sinned just like Adam did. And I think it going for 30 and a half years and never missing the mark. So sin means missing the mark. I don't have to be profane or I don't have to commit adultery. It's just missing the mark. You know, when I do something that Yahweh would not want me to do. So think of that, living 30 and a half years and never missing the mark. Wow. Why Adam, it took him probably less than a year to miss the mark. And I couldn't have done it. I don't think any of us could have done it. There's only one person that could have done it, and it had to be Yahushua. And that's why we bow down to him. But here is 14 and 15. For the love of the Christ constraineth us, having judged this, that one in behalf of all died. Hence, they all died. Why? Because sin equals death, unless you have a substitute. He became our substitute. And in behalf of all died he, in order that they who live, now it's talking to us, what's it read, Melania? Next page, right at the top. No longer. No, don't turn the page. It's the top. You're not in 2 Corinthians 5?
Oh, I'm in 1 Corinthians 5.
Never mind. No longer for themselves should live. That's, everyone is told this. Here's your substitute. The substitute said, I died for you. I died a horrible death. And here's what I'm asking of you. No longer for themselves should live. And so we should tell every one of our children, this is your calling. This is what you are asked to do. But for him who in their behalf died and awoke. And the word rose again is the word egero, which means to awaken. We go into 18, verse 18. And all things, moreover, are of Yahweh, who hath reconciled us to himself. Remember, the reconciliation has to be only can be done after the expiation. The payment has to be paid, and then it results in reconciliation. Who hath reconciled us to himself through who? Through Christ. And hath given unto us the reconciling ministry, how that Yahweh was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not reckoning unto them their offenses, and hath put in us the reconciling discourse.
I don't know what that means.
John Lynn said, I think it was very good, he says, we're all in sales.
Man.
No matter what, we are in sales. And sales is talking to people about Christ and Yahweh. And it's not, we have cards you give out. Any way you can bring the news. You put it on your car. You put it on your shirt. You put it on your body. We're in sales. And if you do not accept that duty, you don't have to, but you will not be rewarded. If you're ashamed of him, what's he say? He's going to be ashamed of you. If you're ashamed of him, then, okay, don't be surprised when you get there and you live 1,000 miles from the homeland. And you're still there. You're still in paradise. I mean, he died, still died for you, but you're ashamed of him your whole life because you wouldn't talk to him. You wouldn't put it on your car. You wouldn't put it on your body. You wouldn't put it on your shirts. I mean, what kind of person is this? He's not a fan. You know, people are more proud of the Redskins or the Shockers or all sorts of sports. They'll just be fanatics about them. And then when you talk about Christ, it's that intimidation. Now, getting a little bit behind. Let's go to Mark chapter 11. And this is the 10th of Nisan. According to, wait a minute, I forgot to bring this book, Aaron. Zoom in.
It's probably allergies. It's been bugging me the last 2 days.
Okay, this is a really good book, and I'm going to bring some of the information off of this. That was done 20 or 30 years ago, probably 30 years ago. Tell me when you're done. Okay. It's called Jesus Christ, Our Passover. And it's going to break down each day. Now, I'm just going to go, I haven't done the research that they have done, so I'm just going to go with what they said. And here's what's his 10th day. The lamb. Remember, the preparation, you're supposed to bring the lamb into the house on the 10th day, and you keep it to the 14th. So Christ is entering, and this is Nisan the 10th.
What chapter, what book 10?
Mark 11, verse 1. So everything's being fulfilled. And when they were drawing near unto Jerusalem, unto Bethsaida and Bethany, towards the Mount of Olives, he sent forth two of his disciples. So here he is approaching Jerusalem. Now we're going to go into Jerusalem, verse 9 and 11. And they who were going before and they who were following after were crying aloud, Hosanna, blessed is he that is coming in the name of Yahweh. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David, Hosanna in the highest. And he entered into Jerusalem, into the temple. This is Nisan the 10th, the 10th of Nisan. So here is the lamb being presented to people, to Israelites. And looking around on all things, late already being the hour, he went in unto Bethany with the 12. So he entered Jerusalem and he left Jerusalem. He's there just for a little bit of time. Now he's going to go back in. So remember, you know, it's funny, I started saying, Yahweh's days are from evening to morning. Or we would say Jews' days are from evening to morning. No, that's Yahweh's days.
Yeah.
Because in Genesis says, the first day, it was evening and morning, day one. So Yahweh started the day at sunset, and it ends at sunset. And we are no different. When does our day begin?
Midnight.
All right. It doesn't begin in the daytime either. It begins 6 hours later, in essence. It's just 6 hours later. But he was on the solar calendars, and so once the sun went down, the trumpet would blow, because you can't blow one at midnight. You tell everybody it's a new day. Yeah. But that was when Sabbath began. You know, if it was Sabbath, once the sun hit the horizon, it was out of black, you blew it, and everybody stopped working. So that was it. It's your festival days, feast days, everything else. I started thinking, well, the Jews' days are like this. You know, Yahweh's days are that way. And ours are really no different. We're just 6 hours off. That's all we are. Mark, you know, now look at 15 and 17. This is the second time he enters in Jerusalem. And this is the 10th of Nisan. And they come in Jerusalem, and entering into the temple, he began to be casting out them who were selling and them who were buying in the temple, and the table of the money changers and the seat of them who were selling doves. Wow, what an introduction. This is the only second time he's been in Jerusalem. The first time he came in at night and left. The second time he's cleaning the house. He overthrew his ministry. I don't know if you guys know that, but his ministry was not 3 years. His ministry was less than 6 months. And so now think of this, and I've got a study on that if you ever want to look at it. That's how far people off. How many days was in the wilderness? So let's say his ministry is 6 months. How many days was in the wilderness?
40 days.
How many? That's a month and a half. So he wasn't around people for a month and a half. So how many months was he really with people?
4.5.
4.5 months. And so it was a whirlwind tour, which is very understandable, because once you start healing people, thousands upon thousands of everybody starts coming. All right, so you got 4.5 months, and this is his introduction into Jerusalem. And you guys know it was only 6 months?
People
used to tell you it's 3 years.
I was just remember it was after, I was always thought it was after he's baptized, pretty much. Was when he
now, his ministry is when he got baptized in the Jordan. Yeah, Jordan.
Yeah,
yeah, and that's when his ministry began.
Yeah.
Right, with John the Baptist.
I didn't know that long.
But we find out that a Hebrew man was supposed to go to Jerusalem 3 times a year. It wasn't an option. So if his ministry was 3 years, how many times would he be in Jerusalem?
We say 3 times a year?
Yeah.
Nine.
Nine times. Now, if you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he's only in Jerusalem once. Only in John, the Gospel of John, is he in there multiple times. So then we have to say, all Scripture is literal until it cannot be taken literal. And that's called a figure. So when somebody calls Yahushua a lamb, is that literal or is that a figure? It has to be a figure because he's not a lamb. So if I have three agreeing and one saying a whole other story, then that has to be figurative, anything that disagrees with the other three. So, and that's a whole other study too, and people can look that up too. 11:15, we saw that, you start throwing the chairs and everything else around. So
throwing the chairs around.
So 3 o'clock.
You always bouncing.
Yeah. Okay, let's look at that. And let's see here. Oh, yeah, the third hour. In the morning. Oh, 15, 24, 25.
15 what?
I want to make sure I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. Oh, okay. Yeah, go to Mark 15. I'm trying to crush. I've got about 8 minutes left. I'm trying to crush this thing in. 15:24. So let's look at the time frame. Chapter 15, verse 24 to 25. Right in between. And in Mark is the only time it mentions 3 different times. And they crucified him and parted the side of his garments, casting a lot upon them who should have anything, and it was the third hour. The third hour is 9 a.m. So today he would have been crucified at 9 a.m. That's the third hour. And they crucified him, and the inscription of his accusation had been inscribed, the King of the Jews. Now 27, and when they crucified, and with him they crucified 2 robbers, one on the right hand and one on the left, and the passerbys were reviling him, shaking their heads and saying, "Aha! Thou who was pulling down the shrine and building one in 3 days. Save thyself." Well, I want to go into verse 33. Get back to the hours. And when it was the sixth hour is noon. So the third hour is 9 a.m. He got crucified. Now, when it was the sixth hour, which is noon, darkness came upon all the land until the ninth hour. So it was dark for 3 hours. And at the ninth hour, Yahushua uttered a cry with a loud voice. So if he was crucified at 9 and died at 3, how many hours was he on the cross?
6 hours.
So he's hanging there for 6 hours. Then according to this book, he was probably processed for 40 hours. So his whole endeavor was a 40-hour endeavor.
Was beaten
when he started being betrayed and mocked and hit and taken back from court to court to court to court. So you have to realize, this is what this guy did for us.
Jeez.
And so at 3 p.m., and that's the night, well, let's see here, and we know It was a 6-hour dark, in verse 33, darkness came on the land till the ninth hour, and on the ninth hour, Jesus uttered a cry with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, who's being translated, my God, to what end hast thou forsake me? And he was not forsaken. You know, this is reading Psalms 22. So he's quoting Psalms 22, which was written about him. And this is how what Psalms 22 says. So if I said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He would say, well, he's not talking about you. He's talking about, Jeff's just quoting Psalms 22.
And the end of Psalms 22 is the resurrection.
Yeah, and it goes right back in. So it's this like, is the psalmist reading
the
this.
Of the death, or,
nobody could. Death. Just think about that. He says, my Father is always with me. I am never alone. This barbarianism to say, well, he became sin and Yahweh hates sin, so Yahweh turned against his son who did 100% of his will. Now think about that. How terrible a teaching that is.
Look how forgiving we can be.
Oh, yeah. So you could go to, I think I'm going to cut it there, but you could go to 1 Corinthians 11, 23 and 26, and that's the communion. And that's in the Last Supper where he's saying, my body is broken for you, and that's the bread, and drinking the wine is my blood, which is shed for you. So that's, we do it in remembrance of him, and this is really what we get to tonight too. This is it in remembrance of him, and what he actually paid the price. So we know that sin equals death, and so the unbelievers, that's what they get. Because there's no, they did not ask for expiation. Yeah. Expiation is a payment for what you have just done. And you can go into Hebrews 2, verse 9, chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. His death also accomplished, which is potentially the 10th, was the day of, is what they call the day of atonement. We find out it's not, atonement's a wrong word. Atonement means at-one-ment, which makes no sense. And that's A-T-O-N-E is at-one. That's atone. It's really propitiation. The day of propitiation, and this was the day where everybody, all sins for everybody were cleansed. And it was one day that the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies and put blood on the Ark of the Covenant without being dying. So he also accomplished that. So this is on nights on the 14th, which we're in the nights on the 15th, which was the days of unleavened bread. For 7 days. And so we eat unleavened bread, which is really a festival. The Passover is really a preparation for the festival. So I always thought of them as really two events, the Passover and then you have the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, on the Feast of Unleavened Bread, you have two, what they call Sabbaths, or day where you don't work. It was not the Sunday. So the first day is you cannot work, and so today would right now be the 15th of Nisan, because the sun is set, and so we are forbidden, whether it was Friday and Saturday or not, we are forbidden to work, and on the last day of the feast, it's a holy day, a convocation, where you're forbidden to work. But on the Passover, you could work, because also you're killing the lamb. So it was actually this all fueling right into the 7-day feast. All right. So now, since Christ died for us, you guys want me to be quiet now? Be honest with me. Well, I'm not going to open that door. Okay. But now, since Christ died, after the day of Pentecost, Holy Ruach was poured out through Christ from our Father, that we can now rejoice in manifestation that he actually did die. Because we cannot speak in tongues, we cannot interpret, we cannot prophesy unless we have Ruach, and that's a manifestation that Christ lives and Yahweh lives. So right now, I'm going to close with prayer. Then anybody who wants to speak in tongues, interpret, or prophesy, go ahead. And then I'll do one final prophecy for the people who are watching. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and what a blessing it is. Let me just get down here. Yeah. Thank you for Christ for just dying for us, just a horrific death. Not only just dying, and a lamb died pretty peacefully, but you died a horrific death of being a death upon the cross. So we thank you for that sacrifice, that we never take it we always take it lightly, take it seriously. And also to realize, you did this for us, and you're asking us to just live for you, which means doing what you're telling us to do. So thank you for that privilege. And if anybody wants to speak in tongues and interpret, go ahead.
My heart sings because I see you worshiping. My heart sings because I love you. My heart sings when I see you studying my word and questioning it and searching it, yea, for treasures. My heart sings because you are my children. I am well pleased.
Do a word of prophecy, or give a prophecy. It is time for you to take my hand. It's time to stop putting off the relationship that I desire. Like a husband and a wife, when they're ready to make a commitment to take things to the next level, so do I patiently wait. Your heart is ready and the time is right. Take my hand. It doesn't matter what the rest of the world thinks or does. All that really matters is what I think. I'll take care of all the rest of this. This is what my promises say. My promises say, put my Father's will first, and we'll take care of all the rest of these things. So put me first by first taking my hand. Stand up, rise up. It doesn't have to make sense. All it has to do is make faith and to choose me.
Do you know my children, like someday, Yahweh's son will come back and we'll get better privileges and bigger things, and he'll get a new land, and we don't know what we'll have. But when Christ comes back, you will get a lot of things if you just bow down to him.
Good job, sweetie.
Okay, I'll do a closing word of prophecy for the people who are watching and listening. Father, we thank you. It would be a lot harder to know what your son's going to go through, and you would rather do it yourself than have them do it. So you gave the greatest gift, which is your son, and your son cooperated, and boy, what a team. And we are the fruit of that. And so thank you for these words. As you put upon my word and meditate upon my word, and I am fascinated with you as an individual. I have called you in this time and in this place to come to me with an open heart and bear your soul to me and be thankful unto me, and I will exalt thee as you humble yourself and you become obedient unto my word. So at all times, come to me in humility and graciousness, and I will exalt thee into a supreme authority as I did my son.